Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimaginedonline.org, covering the stories in the new world of public education. On part one of this two-part episode, we join Step Up for Students President Doug Cuthill and NLP Logic's Jen Bradshaw on a presentation hosted by Kevin Roberts of Robots and Pencils, a digital innovation firm. The three discussed the relationship between Step Up and NLP Logic's, a Jacksonville-based analytics and machine learning data product and service company. The organizations have partnered to build an online platform to better empower parents using education savings accounts. As ESAs and customization become ubiquitous in public education, how do the organizations plan to deploy data and artificial intelligence to scale robust educational services for ESA families to help them make good decisions based on their children's unique needs? That question and more on this episode of Podcast Ed.
I've been in education since 1977, so I'm very old. I started teaching in the fall of 1977, and my passion has always been equal opportunity. I'm so old that I actually grew up in segregated schools where I wasn't, by law, I wasn't allowed to go to school with the Black children until my junior year in high school. And so I saw, you know, the inequalities in our society explained by race, class, and all kinds of other issues, special needs kids where there's no services. So as a young person, I was really motivated to think about equal opportunity and understanding that education was critical, and the system was failing. You know, I saw so many children around me who were being failed, not because the teachers didn't care, the parents didn't care, but the system just wasn't able to deliver a high quality education for every child. And so that's my passion. That's who I am. I've been doing this now for a long, long time. And I'm very excited about where we are. As Kevin said, the pandemic has provided disruptions in ways that probably have accelerated the transformation in public education by several decades. And we're right in the middle of that right now. And the work that Jen and I are doing together with our partners is really helping facilitate this transformation. So we're excited to talk about that. Let me talk real quickly about Step Up. Step Up is a nonprofit organization. I'm the president of Step Up. I've been president since 2008. We have a contract with the state of Florida to run four scholarship programs. These programs allow families to access education options they wouldn't normally have. We've got about 150,000 low-income children on scholarships. The average family of four in our program makes about $28,000 a year. And then we have a program for kids with special needs, Down syndrome, spina bifida. We like to refer to them as unique abilities. So we serve a whole portfolio of kids who are trying to find something that works for them. These are kids that currently aren't having success and need different kinds of options. We're very proud to Step Up. It's one of the highest ranked nonprofits in the country. This year, Step Up will distribute $1.3 billion in scholarships to about 175,000 children in the state of Florida. And so we're a big operation, and we're really in the middle of really transforming a public education system from one that hasn't been able to deliver equal opportunity, that one that we think will.
All right, thanks, Doug. So my name is Jen Bradshaw. I work for NLP Logic's, and I have had a very interesting path to get to where I am today. I actually started out as a school teacher. So my entire education background has been in teaching. I even started teaching back in 2004, made it a couple of years, and realized that I was not making the impact on students and kids that I really wanted to. And I knew that I probably needed to transition and take my entire educational background and put it to use in technology in some way, shape, or form. So I navigated through different firms within New York City to gain the experience just within technology. I really just wanted anybody to give me a chance so that I could learn how do you build technology and how do you use it to solve problems, knowing ultimately that my goal was to be able to solve problems within the educational space. It's all about who we know, isn't it? So NLP, I had a former coworker that came to work at NLP. And we are, we're a data science company. We use data to help solve problems. And then they branched out and decided that they wanted to start building different sorts of platforms and applications as well. They didn't want to just utilize data and machine learning and AI within a limited form. We literally want to across every industry that you can imagine and figure out how machine learning and AI can be injected into these industries to truly solve problems, unique problems, big problems that people didn't expect technology could solve in the beginning. So thanks to my connections, I was asked to come on board and work with Doug and his organization to build this platform that we're going to talk to you about. So really, Doug, if you want to give a little bit of an overview of how our partnership came to be, I think that'd be the next step.
Yeah, we're really excited about the relationship with NLP. It's been a fantastic relationship. And Jen, her background is so unique. For somebody who is an educator, that has her passion, her values, but also can understand the tech side of the world, that bridge has been really critical. I mentioned earlier that over 150,000 of our families are lower income. Imagine a single mom with a couple of kids working multiple jobs to make ends meet. The last thing I wanna do is hassle her. The last thing I wanna do is make it more difficult for her to get a scholarship and get her children placed in the school that best meets their needs. So as we were growing dramatically at Step Up, it was clear to me that we needed a partner that would help us with this growth, but also help us with customer service. And so NLP brings two really amazing things to the table. First of all, they're a phenomenal software development organization. And having Jen oversee it is really important as a project manager because she understands the psychology of families, she understands the psychology of schools, and she understands how the software needs to be very user-friendly for that population. Jen has really and her team have done a fantastic job at NLP of creating a much more user-friendly platform. They spend a lot of time talking to our families, talking about what works for them, what doesn't work, what kind of things they want to experience. And that's been really helpful. The other piece is, as we get bigger and bigger, we know that AI is going to have to play a critical role in helping us with better customer service. We want families to be able to access these resources in order to have options. But as we're going to talk today, there's a lot of choices out there, and the universe is getting bigger and bigger in terms of educational options. And so how does a family navigate that? How do they decide what's the right path for my child at any one developmental point? And that's where we can use data to inform the software, and the software can work with our staff to help families not just access the resources they need to find options for their children, but also access the information they need to figure out what's the right fit for my child. So in that sense, the marriage with NLP has been extraordinary. We're very much joined at the hip, and our values and our mission fits really nicely with their values. This is a natural integration of humanities and science in order to meet a pressing social need. We have four programs. I mentioned 150,000 kids that are on the means-tested scholarship programs. They can take that scholarship to any one of about 2,000 plus private schools in the state of Florida. We also have a transportation scholarship for kids who want to go from one district school to another district school in another community. So those are two kinds of ways we serve the low-income kids. I mentioned that we call our special needs kids unique abilities. These are kids, like I said, spina bifida, Down syndrome. That program is something called an educational savings account, which is really going to be the focus of our conversation. Unlike a traditional scholarship that you can use for tuition and fees, for example, an educational scholarship allows you to spend money on a variety of services beyond simply tuition and fees. So imagine you have a child with Down syndrome. You may need access to occupational therapy, physical therapy. There's a variety of things that you need, or a child with autism. You know, we serve a lot of autistic kids. And one of the lessons from autism is that you've met one autistic child, you've met one autistic child. Every situation is so unique. The families need a lot of flexibility to figure out what's going to work for one particular child. We have one child in our program who, in order to get centered, he loves to be around chickens. And so his family set up a little chicken coop with chickens, and that's how the child gets centered. And if you know anything about autism, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that children have to get themselves recentered. And so the families need a lot of flexibility. And so that's the importance of educational savings accounts. We have something called the Hope Scholarship, which is dealing with kids who are bullied, which, as we all know, is a huge problem in our society. And then we have a reading scholarship. It's only for kids in district schools who are in grades 3 through 5 who are struggling readers. That's also an educational savings account. So those families can spend money on books, on software, on after-school tutoring, on summer enrichment programs. So that those two ESA programs are things that we're going to talk about more today, because really we think the future of public education is education savings accounts, because we think the future of public education is moving from a one-size-fits-all system to customization. And ESAs give families the financial flexibility in order to customize. And that's why we think ESAs are so important. And that's why we want to talk about that today. When we decided to go to scale with public education in the mid-1800s, it was an organizational challenge, because up until that point, we really hadn't made public education available to everybody. The first public education attendance law, mandatory attendance law, was 1852 in Massachusetts. The last law was passed in 1918 in Mississippi. And so through that 60 plus years, we transitioned to a system where very few kids went to a public school until a majority of our population, the overwhelming majority, was going to public schools. Then there was a question of how do you scale that up? And so they looked around and said, what's the most effective way to scale something this large? And they saw what's happening in manufacturing. There was batch manufacturing going around in the 1800s, most epitomized by, I guess, Henry Ford is the most famous example in the early 1900s, where he created the assembly line to really revolutionize the car production. And so really only we ended up with sort of this assembly line approach to education, because that was scalable and that allowed you to educate lots of kids. So, you know, in 1830, there wasn't first grade, second grade, third grade. That basically is an assembly line concept. We said, okay, let's organize schools like assembly lines, because that's the most effective way to go to scale. And kids will go to first grade, we'll pour something in. We'll go to second grade, we'll pour it in. Third grade, we'll pour it in. And when they come out at the end, just like a Model T, they'll be well-educated. Well, that works for some kids, but it turns out it doesn't work for a lot of kids. And so that one-size-fits-all industrial approach to public education has really been a problem for us. And we've always wanted to change it. We've always said, you know, every child is unique. We need a unique approach. We need the flexibility to meet every child's unique needs, but we couldn't scale that. That's been a struggle for the last 150 years until today. So technology increasingly is allowing us, the pandemic has been the best example, where, you know, we went overnight from brick and mortar to homeschooling, basically. And that only happened because of virtual education. And so suddenly technology was in the middle of our education system. And it's really been disruptive. And as Kevin said, it's not going back in the bottle. You know, we're not going to give up our smartphones, go back to digital phones. We're not going to give up our word processing, go back to manual typewriters. I mean, once people have a taste of the new world, they're going to move in that direction. So the challenge for us is, how do we use technology in order to provide a customized education for every child? And how do we go to scale with that? Imagine being a teacher with 35 kids in the classroom. You're like, there's no way, you know, I have to teach one size fits all. There's no way I can customize. And so this whole movement right now is a transition from one size fits all to customization. And a key part of that is the funding. Because historically, as you saw on the other slide, the funding went to the school, and that funding basically was used to create a one size fits all education for all the kids in that school. Education savings accounts say, instead of the money going to the school, the money goes to the family. So now the family knows their child better than anybody else, and they can make a decision about what's best for my particular child. Do I want a traditional brick and mortar school? Do I want a hybrid school where part of the day is brick and mortar, part of the day might be virtual, part of the day might be in my zone neighborhood school, part of the day might be in a charter school, part of the day might be in a virtual school, part of the day might be in a dual enrollment program for high school kids that are going to college. All these options now are suddenly available. And so the educational savings account allows families to have flexible money. They can spend that money on a variety of things. It's not one size fits all spending. It's now customized spending on a variety of learning options that best meet the needs of every child. But again, that requires technology to manage this in a way that allows us to go to scale with being effective and being efficient. At the end of the day, this is really all about equal opportunity. Every one of these children is unique. Every one of those children is not best served by being on Henry Ford's assembly line. Every one of those children have families who understand them better than anybody else. We need to use the wisdom of the families to figure out what works for each child at any one particular time. If anyone has ever raised children, you know that what works for a kid who's 8 years old may not work when they're 16. Because by the time they get to 16, they're a whole new human being, and you know, you don't really know them anymore. And so you really got to be flexible. And that's really, I think, the key to equal opportunity is so many kids get lost because of a one size fits all system. And we really got to have customization in order to have equal opportunity in public education.
So now that everyone has a little bit of a better understanding of what an education savings account really is, and really the goal is to ensure that we can get parents the resources that they need. I mean, imagine you are a parent and have a child who just has this new diagnosis and you just don't even know where to begin. Imagine being able to have that one-stop shop, something that you're able to rely on. Because through the use of data, through the use of machine learning, we've been able to collect all of the different data points that we need, the relevant data points to then go ahead and present the appropriate resources to these families. So it's not just about, here you go, here are the products that you can purchase, here are the services that might be useful. Let's go ahead and intelligently guide these families to make the appropriate decision on what will be best for their students.
So Jen, I'm going to jump in real quick. There's a question that came up, which I think is a good one, and maybe you're going to get to it in a second. Sure. Can you talk a little bit about some of the specific data points that you were analyzing, what you were looking at? I mean, it all makes sense that you're using data, but I think all of us are curious about, I mean, what specifically were you looking at to pull that together?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So what we have, we've challenged Step Up, and I will say having good data is so important. And Step Up has done a phenomenal job of keeping track of all of their historical data. And so this data consists of application-related data. So a parent will create an application for a specific scholarship today. There's data objects in there that we're going to be able to use. It could have things like diagnoses. It could have things like test scores and results from an IEP. So we're collecting that information and we're going to create and train models to be able to make those predictions. And we're starting with the quantitative side of things. So moving from applications, we're going to be creating functionality that's going to allow parents to create an individualized education plan for their students. So we're going to go ahead and collect more of those attributes to understand, does a student need their soft skills improved? Do they have any issues with, is it just specifically reading and writing, or do they have motor skill issues? So they might not classify under a specific diagnosis, but there's attributes to that student that the parent knows these can be improved. And so that's the information we're going to be able to collect. Now, the other piece of it is this is historical data that I was mentioning. Step Up, they obviously go through a tremendous amount of audit, so they have to keep all of that financial history. What they have made available to us is that purchase, the transaction history. So we're going to know the types of students, the types of parents, and what they typically buy to enhance their child's education and give them the resources that they need to improve in the skill sets that they want. So we're going to marry up things like a diagnosis. We're going to marry up the elements of a child, the soft skills, the hard skills that the parents want to improve. And we're going to match that to how parents are spending their scholarship dollars today. And we're going to be able to present that to the new parents that are going to be coming into this platform and say, hey, your profile looks very similar to someone over here. And this is how they are spending their scholarship.
So it's not so overwhelming. It's like, I don't even know where to start
You got it.
So if you think about this, really what we're building is a platform. And, you know, the economy is being transformed by platforms, Amazon being the best example, where the Amazon platform connects supply and demand. Another example might be, and of course on Amazon, if I buy a book, I suddenly get to say, you know, people who buy this book also purchase these other kind of books. And so parents who have kids with spina bifida who made these kind of purchases also are interested in these other kinds of services. You also might want to look in these services who by the way, also live in the Orlando area. Same thing with Netflix, right? I mean, that's a platform that connects customers and suppliers, supply and demand. And it says, you know, if you like to watch The Crown, then you also might be interested in, you know, Elizabeth, whatever. And so it's the same kind of thing so this isn't new. I mean, all of us now go onto platforms and we connect with content and services. And as we do that, because the universe is so, the digital world is so overwhelming, we have to navigate that.
Right.
And so we rely on software to help us navigate that universe of choices, because we don't, right. otherwise we just get paralyzed. And so we're basically taking that model that's been used across the economy, but has ironically never been used in education. And by the way, education choices are very, very complex.
Yes. And way more meaningful than what you're going to watch next in your Netflix queue, right?
I mean, that's right. I'm making a huge decision about my 9-year-old that's going to affect his or her the rest of his life.
Right.
I want to make the very best informed decision possible. And so how do we give that family as much information as possible? And frankly, it becomes really important when you talk about a single mom with a 10th grade education who's busting her fanny to do the very best for her child.
Right.
We've got to do everything we possibly can to help that mom succeed with her kids.